One of the things I've discovered in life is that whatever I like, I tend to attract people who like the same. What I enjoy doing tend to determine who gets attracted to me, who gets drawn to me. Yesterday, we were at a braai in our kids' school, and there we were talking, and they saw me. I was wearing one of my 94.7 cycling caps, and the guy said, "Oh, I see you're a cyclist." He says, "Oh, yeah, I want to get into cycling as well. So can we hook up? Can we get to talk about this? Do you go on the road? How often do you cycle?" I said, "Yeah, from time to time. It's just that these days I'm too busy." But it's because of what I was wearing. It's because of the identity that I was carrying. You know, you'll find that whatever you enjoy doing, you're likely to draw people who like that same stuff. Like they say, birds of the same feathers flock together. Birds of the same feathers flock together. Now, if you're a type of a person who is into sci-fi movies, the Avengers, I don't know, the Transformers, whatever, you tend to draw those kind of people because that's your language. What you like tends to shape your conversations and what you talk about. And if you have a best friend, and what made you friends was this common thing, and all of a sudden you change, you find that your relationship gets strained a little bit. Because there was a common issue that you were sharing all along, but all of a sudden, you changed styles. Okay? Now, it brings a strain over your relationship. Now, this morning, as we prepare ourselves to fasting, as we prepare ourselves to seeking the face of God in these coming 5 days, I want you to know that in the kingdom of God, there are certain things that if we do, we attract God. Hello, somebody. There are some things that if you do them habitually, you will be guaranteed of the presence of God in your life. At the same time, there are certain things that if I do, I am guaranteed of the absence of God in my life. Come on now. You see, God cannot be found in certain environments. The Holy Spirit cannot be found in certain environments. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. What makes him gentle is that he doesn't force himself onto us. My question this morning is, your home, your house, your room, is it a place where the Holy Spirit feels, this is my holy habitation? I am welcome here. Because the conversations in this bedroom are so holy that the presence of God is always there. Those of you who are married, the way you talk and what you talk about on that queen-size bed determines whether God comes into that bedroom and ministers to you. Let's talk about your sitting rooms. The stuff that we watch on that curved plasma screen, whatever it is, the stuff that we glue ourselves onto and we watch from morning to evening, does it make God feel welcome? Or it becomes a deterrent to the presence of God? The stuff I play on my MP3 player in my car, does it create an ambience where the Holy Spirit can come and start talking to me? Hello? Let's talk about that thing behind between your two ears. The stuff that I allow to occupy my mind share, is it stuff that allows me to experience God? Or even though the presence of God was here this morning as we worship, because of the stuff I was accommodating right through the week, I struggle to tap into the presence of God. Hello? So this morning I want to share with you on a message entitled, Deny the Desirable to Become Desirable. Deny the desirable for you to become desirable. That is the title of my message this morning. Because if you desire what God desires, you become desirable before God. If you desire what Lucifer desires, he becomes desirable in your life. I can't tell you what this stuff is, but you know better. But this morning, I believe that as we go into this season of fasting, when you deny food is desirable, isn't it? I enjoy food. Maybe you guys are too spiritual to the point that food doesn't really minister to you. But hey, it does to me. It does to me. So whenever we talk about fasting, I really have to apply my mind. I really have to think about it and say, do I really want to do this? Why? Because I'm about to deny what I really desire, what my body desires. And yet God is saying, if you deny what is desirable in the flesh, you become desirable to me. You see, when you are desirable to somebody, if you make a request to them, your request is received with favor. Why? Because you're desirable unto them. So if you are desirable before God, guess what? When you bring certain requests, your requests are bound to receive more attention. Oh, well, the Bible speaks about it. It says, his ears are attentive to the prayers of the righteous, and they are close to the prayers of the wicked. That the scriptures explain this phenomenon. Now, talking about fasting, a lot of people fast, but I've come to realize that we sometimes do it in a wrong way. It doesn't matter how much effort you put in doing something in a wrong way, even if that thing is right, if you do it in a wrong way, you won't get the good results. If you're doing something good, but you're doing it in the wrong way, you won't get the results that you expect. So, as we're teaching this morning, I'm hoping that we'll get to a point where we really understand what fasting is about. So my first issue here is, let's look at the technology of fasting. You know, technology is just a fancy word of the way of doing things. So let's look at the way of fasting, which is the right way of fasting. What is expected of me from God when I fast? All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus was talking about prayer. He was talking about what he was bringing aboard from the Old Testament. And in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6, this is what Jesus says. He says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. When you fast, do not be like certain people, certain entities. What do? For they disfigure their faces so they may appear to men to be fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, put on your facials. Hello? Did you know that there are facials for men as well? You know, as I'm growing older now, my wife bought me some facials some time ago, and I was like, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for cleansers, but facials, right? Anoint your head and wash your face so that, I don't know what she was seeing. Maybe she's saying, this guy is getting old too quick. Let's fix him up. Okay, back to the fasting. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you will not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And there is the Lord Jesus giving us the technology of fasting. So the first thing that we need to understand is that fasting is one of the requirements for believers. Let's start there. Fasting is one of the requirements for believers, because when we read from verse 16, Jesus says, if you fast. Did you say that? No. He says, when you fast. When you fast. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of when you do it. So I want you to understand this morning that the issue of fasting is not reserved for those in the fivefold ministry. It's not for those who are called in the so-called sacred callings and pastors, evangelists. No, it is for every child of God. That is why Jesus said, when you fast. And this morning, I want you to know that heaven is actually expecting you to fast. There's an expectation on heaven for you to fast. You see, when we fast right in the beginning of the year, what we are doing is we are dedicating the rest of the year in the hands of God. You are saying to God, I don't know how these coming 12 months are going to play out, but I know that you are faithful. I don't know how tomorrow will work out, but I know you and you know tomorrow. Glory be to God. So when you fast, you are handing over the coming time in the one who knows tomorrow. You see, when we talk about tithing, forgive me to bring up the issue of tithing again. We say you take a first portion of your income and you give it to God. In other words, it gets sanctified, then the rest gets sanctified. So when you are fasting right at the beginning of any season of your life, what you're doing is you are sanctifying that season by giving a portion of it to God. Because you're saying to the Lord, I'm just setting aside this time so that the rest of the year can be in your control. This is what fast does. So for those of you who've been fasting, and I tell you, most believers tend to fast in the beginning of the year. It's a great principle to do. I want to encourage you to do that. Because when you do that, you are handing over the rest of the year in the hands of God. I believe in living a prayed for life. A prayed for life is when you pray into the future so that when you walk into the future, you don't need to be guessing your steps to say, I don't know if this is right. When you live a prayed for life, you walk with confidence and with conviction because you know He's ordering my steps. Hello, somebody. I pray for my kids. I pray for their spouses. Our firstborn is 9. Our second born is 5. But right now I'm praying for Andrew's wife. I'm saying, Lord, I don't know if she's born. But if she's born already, preserve her. Look after her. May she know the Lord while she's still young. So that at the right time, they can meet and glorify you. And because of that, I'm confident that they'll meet the right person at the right time. Living a prayed for life. This is what fasting does. And I challenge you to do that. And to create a habit of fasting. Now, when you do fasting once a year, can you call it a habit? No. A lot of people just, they fast up for the whole year in January and they feast the whole of the year. Come on now, we've got to change that outlook. It has to be a lifestyle where you say it's a discipline that allows me to connect with God at a deeper level. You don't want to connect with God just in the beginning of January and then you resort back to your own way of doing life. Let fasting be a day, a process in your life, a habit that you say from time to time, I will seek the face of God by denying the desirable, so that I can become desirable unto God. So fasting is almost an expectation from God. Secondly, what is fasting? Okay, I'm going to take us back to the basics. Because sometimes we have redefined some of these terminologies. But let's go back to the basics. Fasting is a deliberate act of stepping out of your daily routine of eating food in order to pay attention to God. That is what fasting is. It is stepping out of your daily routine of eating food. Hey, when you wake up, you feel some pain. That is why we say breakfast. Do you even think about that? Breakfast, it's breaking fast. You were fasting for the past 6 hours because you don't eat when you're sleeping, do you? Unless you are some of us who sleep late around 1 and you chow something before you sleep. The dietitians will tell you, don't do that. And my wife has been saying, no, we need to stop this eating just before we sleep. All right? Whatever the case might be. But breakfast in the morning, you are breaking the fast. You haven't been eating. So we are saying fasting spiritually, it is when you break out of your daily routine of eating in order to pay attention to God. So the biblical definition of fasting is depriving yourself of the desired food. Oh yes, these days with these contemporary Christians, we have redefined fasting. We are talking about fasting Facebook. Hello? Have you been there where somebody says, these days I'm fasting Facebook, I'm not going on social media. Or I'm fasting chocolate. Or I'm fasting television time. Well, call it something else. That is not fasting. Hello, somebody? Fasting is depriving yourself of a meal, depriving yourself of food for the one reason: to pay attention to God, to spend time in the presence of the Lord. That is what fasting is. And as we go into this week, please don't tell me that, Pastor, I've been fasting chocolate. I'll say, let's redefine that one. It's something else. Maybe it's a discipline that you're putting over your life because you know eating a whole lot of chocolate is not healthy. All right? But don't call it fasting. So that is what fasting is. Thirdly, fasting needs to be accompanied by three things. When you fast, you need to ensure that there is prayer, there is worship, and there's a reading of the word. All of that is what we call paying attention to God. It's what we're calling fellowship and spending time in the presence of the Lord. So fasting is denying yourself of food in order to concentrate on God. So you need to ensure that when you are fasting, there is praying that is going on, and there's reading of the word that is going on, and there's worshiping that is going on. Because when you do those things, you are then drawing the whole attention of heaven to yourself. Now, if you are fasting and there is no praying, there's no reading of the word, there is no worshiping, maybe it's starvation. Or maybe you're dieting. Okay. I know people say, oh, fasting is great, but the motivator for them is, oh, all the holiday calories that we picked up, fasting time will sort that out quickly. No, let's relook at that. Fasting is really spending time in the presence of God. You see, if you are supposed to be praying for, let's take it down to 15 minutes in the morning before you go to work, you take another 15 minutes to do your cereals, those of you who chow cereals in the morning before you go to work, you then increase your prayer time to 30 minutes. That's what it is. Because you're saying, where I was supposed to be eating and making my sandwich and chowing, I'm actually now spending time praying and worshiping. That is where you see results of your time of fasting. Many of you have been fasting, but you haven't seen the results that you're expecting. Maybe it's because you're still sleeping. Instead of waking up the same time, you're saying, because I'm fasting, I'll wake up a bit later. Hello? Have you been tempted to be like that if you're fasting? Because you know, I won't need time to go and make breakfast for myself. I'll then just wake up a bit later. You're missing the point. The reason why you're depriving yourself of the desirable, it is so that you can become desirable by spending time in the presence of God. This sounds just too basic, but these are the ABCs that changes your life and your experience with God when you are fasting. So reading of the word, praying, and worshiping are so key to us to see results as we are seeking the face of God. Now, the first thing that I want you to understand is this. Fasting is a personal matter. It's not something that is done for public consumption. Some of us, when you are fasting, the moment you walk through those doors at your workplace, they see that something is happening. You're like, what's wrong? You look so gloomy today. You look so tired today. What's happening? Your lips are dry. And then you're caught up trying to explain all sorts of things. You say, oh yeah, I haven't put on my lip gloss or whatever the case might be. But the Lord Jesus addressed this. He said, when you are fasting, don't be like hypocrites who put ashes on top of themselves. They look gloomy so that people can know that they are fasting. The reason why you are fasting, it is not for you to get accolades from the public. It is for you to draw heaven's attention. Hello? It is for heaven to look and say, something is happening here. We need to move down and do something on behalf of him or her. And the Lord Jesus says, be careful when you are fasting. I know certain religions, when they are fasting, when they do their month of fasting, the whole world knows that they are fasting. The Ramadan. Everybody knows, almost the whole world stands still. Why? Because some people are fasting. But you as a child of God, the Lord is saying, your Father in heaven knows that you are fasting. And let's appear before him fasting. Let's come before him with great humility, with simplicity of heart, knowing that he sees all that people do not see. You know, when you are fasting, maybe it's the day to really dress up, to really in your top, to look your top shape. Hello? Those stilettos that have been in your wardrobe for a long time, maybe it's time to take them out to look so great that even if your face looks a bit tired, they won't even see the tiredness because you look glorious. You look amazing. Hello? I want to encourage you, as you go through your fasting, let it not be a public affair issue where everybody knows. Have you realized that when you're fasting and you're experiencing hunger pains, you become very touchy. Your fuse shortens. You become easily irritable. If you're not careful, you start swearing because you're very on the edge. You're there. You're almost going over. Do you know why it's like that? Oh, yeah, there's this chemical stuff going on in your body, yes, but also spiritually, the enemy wants to draw you away from the presence of God. That is why when you are fasting, that is when you need to be very alert. You need to pay attention to your environment. Why? Because the devil does not just allow you to fast, because he knows the moment you fast, breakthrough is coming. So he wants to render your fasting useless and of no consequence. Yes, you'll feel hungry. And can I tell you something? Even pastors feel hungry when they are fasting. So I want to encourage you, as you go through this time of fasting, just be aware, you will feel hungry. And sometimes you'll feel like giving up. I don't know if you've been there, where you said, I'm going to fast for the coming 2 days, but in the halfway through, you're like, I can't do this, man. I'm done. You go and you partake. But if that happens to you, it's not a place where you should stand and feel condemned and feel like you are no good before God. The issue of fasting is relational with the Father. He is not legalistic. Yes, we must put our utmost best to go through. But hey, if something happens and you bonk out, tell the Lord. Say, Lord, I tried, but right now I can't do this. But that is when you need to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit of God, strengthen me. I want to do this because I know there are results coming my way. I don't want to just give in right now to this desirable food because your body says, feed me so that I can kill you. Oh, yeah. That's what the body says. That's what the enemy says. Our appetites will bring us to our demise if we don't control them. Whatever appetite it is. So this morning, I want you to be aware. Forewarned is forearmed. On your third day of fasting, you'll be feeling so hungry. Coming out of your bed, you feel like, is this my body? Is this me really feeling like this? But I tell you, if you spend time in the Word, if you spend time in prayer, there will be a supernatural rejuvenation that comes upon your body. And you'll be amazed by how much you can actually push. Okay, I really want to encourage you. It will happen. You will feel hungry. You will feel touchy at work. But be conscious. Be alert that you are at war. Because fasting, you are heralding wars. You are fighting the territory of the devil. And he will fight back. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So as you go through this fasting time, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus is with you. Now, sometimes you hit the long fast of 21 days, 40 days. And I must say to you, when you are fasting, you can really save a little bit of moolah. Oh, yes. If you push a 21 day, you will see a huge change on your grocery budget for that month. Because, especially if the entire family is fasting, you find that your fridge, you don't need anything in the fridge except for the margarine that has to survive all the way to the end of the fasting. What I'm saying is that if you're not careful, you might be motivated to fast in order to overcome the January disease. If you're not careful, but don't do it for that reason. The Bible addresses this issue in Isaiah chapter 58. It says, is this not the type of fasting that I've commanded you to do? If you look at verse 6, just give me the next verse you see just now. Okay. The next one. Right. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? There is your answer. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry when you are fasting? I remember there was a time that I was fasting for a number of days, and I was traveling for work. And the hotel where I was staying, they would do a packed breakfast for me. I knew I wasn't going to eat. So I would still take my breakfast, and as I go to work, I would distribute. And I think the guys were receiving this, were waiting every morning like, yeah, when is he coming? So what I'm saying this morning, still prepare your food. If possible, still take your scaffolding, your lunchbox. And as you drive to work, pull out your hand and give it to somebody who is in need. It will do something beautiful and powerful to your life, because that is the desire of God. Give me that scripture again, please. Right. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? So in the time of fasting, it's actually time to minister to people. There's power in doing that. Maybe you never thought of this, but this will open up another dimension in the spirit as you're fasting. I want to encourage you to do that. Don't fast in order to save up on your budget. You're missing the point. Let's look at number 5, what fasting is. Now, fasting must emanate from a place of need. Fasting must emanate from a place of need. It is a place of, Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm desperate for you. Lord, I need direction in my life. Lord, I need to hear from you. Lord, this issue has been going on for too long. It has to stop. Oh, you're saying, Lord, I just want more of your glory. Lord, I just want to experience your presence more and more in my life. Those of you who are prophetic, you feel like, Lord, it has dried out. I don't see, I don't hear anymore. Lord, renew my ability to hear from you. Renew my ability to have prophetic dreams. I remember there was a season where God gives me prophetic dreams. And there was a season where it was dry. There was nothing coming through, and I knew there is a warfare I need to engage. And I say, Lord, bring me back to that place again. Would you revive again your works of old, Lord? And from that time, the Lord just opened up the tap again. Every night, even if I sleep in the afternoon after preaching, the Lord would just speak. Why? Because there was a need in my heart of saying, Lord, this is not how things should be. And right now, I want you to look at your situations, and whatever is abnormal, that should be a place of saying, I need God. A place of need. A place of need. You see, when you are fasting, it brings you to a place of humility and brokenness. You know, there are times where we pray, but we haven't fully gone through the requirements of us to get answers of our prayers. The Bible talks about worship. Jesus was there saying, if you're about to come and give your offering and you remember that a brother has something against you, Jesus says, put your offering aside, go and make right. Go and make right. Because if you do that, your offering will be accepted. Now, as we enter into this time of fasting, tonight, I want you to do a self-introspection and say, Lord, am I holding somebody prisoner in my heart? Lord, haven't I forgiven somebody? Am I still having a grudge over what happened 6 months ago? Lord, help me to forgive and to release. You see, the Bible talks about if we do not forgive, the Father will not forgive us. The Bible talks about He will not hear our prayers if we come and we carry all these sins in our hands. Those of you who are married, Peter talks about it. He says here, be careful how you treat your wife, because the way you have been treating your wife hinders your prayers before God. So husbands, if you want your prayer time to be effective, make right with your wife. Hello, somebody? Make right with your wife. Because the Bible says your prayers are hindered because the cries and the tears of this woman have come before me. Do we want to see results when we fast? Let's do these things. Let's get them right. I'm talking about coming before the Lord with a need. a place of need. Now, when you fast, sometimes we think that by fasting, we arm twist God in order to change his mind to do certain things for us. We think that when we fast, we want to change the mind of God so that his mind gets aligned with our thoughts. I don't know if you've been there where you feel like you want to tell the Lord how to answer your prayers. You feel like you want to tell him how to respond to this prayer because you want a certain outcome. So you come before God with a preconceived answer to your prayer. I've been there where I really wish the Lord would answer in a certain way. But lo and behold, he answers in a completely different way. Now, when you fast, it's not about changing the mind of God, it's about changing you in order to align yourself with the mind and the thought of God. That is the issue about fasting. It's really repositioning yourself with the heart of God. Now, let's look at a number of people in the Bible who fasted and they obtained certain results. So as we are fasting, we need to fast with an expectation. You should expect God to do certain things because there is a pattern in the scriptures that point to certain results that come to those who fast. Hello? So when you're fasting, tomorrow going forward and in the future, you must have certain expectations because the Bible has patterns of what comes when people fast. One of the things that I've learned and I've seen in the Bible is this. The first one is, fasting elevates your ability to hear God's voice. Fasting elevates your ability to hear the voice of God. Some of you, you've been asking, Lord, where are you? Lord, what are you saying about this? Lord, I can't hear you. Lord, I feel alone. When you fast, there's something that happens in you that enables you to be sensitive to the leading of God. The Bible says the Lord speaks in dreams and in visions, but does man perceive? When he's lying on his bed, does he perceive that God is speaking? Hello? The Lord speaks. I want you to know that when our spiritual lives are not in the right place, we drift away from God, and that distance becomes the hollow, the ground where you can't hear God. It becomes a division. Now, when you fast and you spend time in the presence of God, what it does, it sensitizes you to the impressions of the Spirit of God. You'll be able to say, the Lord spoke to me. But if somebody really asks you, did you hear his audible voice? No, you might not have heard his audible voice, but you had an impression of the will of God for you. And because it's his impression, you will know deep down in your conscience that this is what God wants me to do. Why? Because your spirit man becomes sensitive to what God is doing, the activities of God around you. So when you fast, you elevate your ability to hear God's voice. Let's look at Moses. Moses spent an inordinate amount of time in the presence of God. The Bible talks about Moses spending 40 days and 40 nights up in Mount Sinai. And what was he doing? Fellowshipping with God. 40 days and 40 nights. Look at Exodus 34, 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down all these instructions, for they represent the terms of the covenant I am making with you and with Israel. Moses remained there on the mountain with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. In all that time, he ate no bread and drank no food. Try it for 40 days. And then we might talk of a different story. You need the Lord to lead you to do these kind of things. 40 days and 40 nights. These days we talk about 40 days of fasting. Most of the time they will be breaking at night. So they eat, they fast the breakfast, they fast lunch, but at night they have something to eat to sustain themselves. But Moses drank no water. Moses ate no bread. Why? He was glued in the presence of God. I don't think he was sleeping. Most of the time he was talking to the Father. The Bible says God would come down and he would speak to Moses face to face as a friend speaks to his friend. And it was in a moment of intimacy, in that moment of no distractions, that Moses was able to hear God speaking. And the Bible says, in all that time, he ate no bread and drank no water, and the Lord wrote the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, on the stones of tablets. 40 days, 40 nights in the presence of God, that heightened his ability to hear God and to understand the heart of God for the nation. If you want that kind of result, you need to spend time with God in prayer. Secondly, fasting unlocks the power of God over your life. I'm not a power freak, but I want to walk in the power of God. I want to be able to pray for my child who is sick, lay hands on that little boy, and then he gets healed. That's what I want in my life. I want the power of God. I want the ability to walk into my workplace and declare things, and things happen in my workplace. Why? Because I walk in power that comes from God. So fasting enables you to walk in that kind of power. When somebody is sick at work, you are confident because you've been walking with God. You say to them, do you mind if I pray for you? It doesn't matter even if they're a believer or not, because hey, the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. The Lord will heal even the non-believers so that through his goodness they can see the love of God. Hello, somebody. So when you have fasted, what it does, it unlocks the power of God in your life. I want to walk in that power. When you walk in that power, you become a true representative of Jesus. Because I'm the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus, when he was about to start his ministry, we all know that the Lord Jesus was God incarnate. It was God walking on earth. And yet in his manhood, he understood the need to walk in power. He understood the need of fasting. So the Bible says when he came out of the water after he was baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord led him into the desert. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was praying and fasting. And it was in those 40 days and 40 nights that he encountered the devil. And it was in that place where he tasted victory as a man against the devil. That is where he declared to the devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. He overcame the enemy, and that basically rolled out his ministry. Before Jesus went out to preach the gospel, he needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and he was in time of prayer and fasting. The Bible says in Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. If Jesus felt hunger pains, yay, there's nothing different about you. You will feel hungry. Hello? Don't be too super spiritual for me and say, I'll push through. I won't feel any hunger pains. No. So Jesus felt hungry. Now, if you look at Luke 4:14, the Bible says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. He came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. As a church, we need to be a powerful church. We need to be a church where if somebody comes into this place and they are sick, they should encounter the healing power of Jesus. Even without anyone laying hands on them, during worship, somebody must be healed in the name of Jesus. I believe that. As the waters get deeper and deeper in the presence of God, miracles will happen even before we declare them. Why? Because there is power that we tap into when we fast corporately as a church. You see, when that power is unlocked, you are able to overcome stubborn situations in your life. Some of you, you look at stuff that has been happening year after year, month after month. But when you come to a place of desperation, you say, I refuse this desirable food until this thing changes. Amen. Somebody says, pray until something happens. Push. You've got to push in prayer and in fasting. Because, hey, if you don't fast for yourself, nobody will fast for you. Let me just put that out there. If I don't fast for myself, nobody will do it for me. Maybe there's a habit in your life that has been so stubborn for years. It can be broken in the name of Jesus when you start fasting and seeking the face of God. There's a story in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 9 verse 25, where Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And there was a father who had his son who was demon possessed. This devil would come and just take over this body, this child. Throw him into water, throw him into fire, trying to kill this little boy. And the father brought this boy to the disciples of Jesus. And the disciples of Jesus, I think they prayed, they spat, they screamed, they did, they kicked, they tried everything. And the demon says, I'm not going nowhere. A stubborn demonic spirit. And the father was frustrated. And Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. The father went to Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, please help me. I've brought this boy to your disciples and they could not help. And Jesus looked at them and says, you perverse generation, you of little faith, until when shall I remain here with you? Bring the boy to me. And the Bible says, Jesus said, you spirit of deafness and mute, I rebuke you, leave this boy. And immediately the spirit left. The disciples went to Jesus in the secrecy of the night. Say, Master, tell us, why were we not able to do exactly the same thing? And Jesus said, this kind. So there is a kind that requires more effort in your life. There are situations in your life that need more input in your life in order to see results. And Jesus said to them, this kind will not come out unless by prayer and fasting. I'm talking about unlocking the power of God in your life. This kind, I want you to define your kind. That thing that has been stubborn in your life, and you say, this kind, I'm going to face you in the coming 5 days. In the name of Jesus, your hold is broken over my life. And you'll see victory coming over your life. You see, when you are fasting, it is a physical action that has a spiritual manifestation. It's a physical action that has a spiritual manifestation. It reminds me of a physical statement that Moses made in the book of Exodus chapter 17. Now I'm talking about the story of the Israelites where Joshua was fighting the Amalekites down in the valley. And Moses went up into the mountain to pray. Moses was praying there with Aaron and Hur. The Bible says, as long as Moses was lifting his hands, Joshua was experiencing victory in the valley. And at some point, his hands grew tired and they were dropping. And as that was happening, Joshua was experiencing defeat. And then Aaron and Hur came and they lifted the hands of Moses. It was a physical act, which it has spiritual manifestation. Joshua did not know what was going on up in the mountain, but somebody was doing something significant in the natural. Hello, somebody. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, Moses, I want you to write down everything that is happening here, because today I will utterly destroy the Amalekites, and I want Joshua to know exactly how he got the victory. Man, talk about simple acts of faith that have an implication in the spirit. If you've never fasted and you've doubted fasting, how can I implore you in the name of Jesus? Take even one day. Fast even one meal and do it from a place of faith and say, Lord, I'm just going to obey what your servant said because I want to see what your word will do in my life. As Moses lifted his hands, oh man, as you fast and you experience the pains, some chains are broken in the spirit in the name of Jesus. Doors are opened in the spirit in the name of Jesus. Relationships are healed in the name of Jesus. Reconciliation happens in the name of Jesus. It's a mere physical act of not eating, but that gives you victory in the spirit. It unlocks the power of God as you fast. Number 3. Fasting changes you. I've alluded to that. Fasting changes you. It aligns you with the will and the purposes of God for you. Where do I get this? We all know Brother Saul. Brother Saul was a killer. He was a murderer. He was a, what do they call them? Serial killer. In our daily terms, that's what we call. Watch out. Dangerous. Armed. And what? Armed and dangerous. That was Saul. Saul was armed and dangerous. In the face of the church, he represented death. And there he was on his way to Damascus. He had a letter to go and apprehend believers. But on his journey, he had a Damascus experience. He was hit by light and he fell down off his horse. And I'm telling you, each one of us need to have a Damascus experience to get off our horses and say, Lord, you are God. And the Bible says he became blind. Because of time, I won't read the story. But the Bible says for 3 days and three nights, Saul could not see and he did not eat. And I believe it was a time of a forced fast that Saul was going through. Saul was persecuting the church. He did not believe in the Messiah. He did not believe in Jesus, that he was the Savior. He was the sent one of God. He was talking about the laws and the commandments of the Old Testament. That was his mindset. But in that encounter, he saw Jesus, the Savior. And that confused his spirit man. And in those 3 days was a man of sorrow. He was aggrieved. He was crying out for mercy. And the Bible says there was a man, a disciple by the name of Ananias. And the Lord went to Ananias and said, there is a man by the name of Saul. He is at this location and he is praying. That is how I know he was fasting. The Lord says, this is God telling Ananias that this poor guy is praying. But for 3 days he was not eating. He was sorrowful in his spirit, man. He was going through his transformation. He was experiencing a change in his life. And when he was prayed for, the Bible says, scales fell from his eyes and he got something to eat and he regained his strength. I'm talking about fasting. It realigns you with the will of God for you. And in the moment of him not eating for 3 days and three nights, his life was being aligned with his purposes that God created him for. When you fast, maybe you know what God wants you to do, but you're not quite ready to embrace it. When you fast and you say, Lord, break me. Hello, somebody. Do you know you can pray prayers like that? And say, Lord, change me in the inside. Break me. Remove this stubbornness. I want a new me. Paul, when he rose up from that place, it was a new Paul. And the Bible says immediately he started preaching the gospel and defending the Christ. You see, the people in the Damascus city, they were still stuck in the old Saul. But Saul had moved on because he had encountered God. It was a new Paul who was preaching salvation and they did not believe him. When you fast, there will be so much change in your life that even people around you, they won't be able to recognize or to reconcile the new you and the old you. They'll be stuck in your old you. They knew you as a guy who was stubborn, as a guy who did not listen, as a guy who could not say, I am sorry. But all of a sudden, they hear sorry is coming out like breathing. I'm like, is this for real? Why? You had an encounter with God in the time of fasting. Go to Jonah, the story of the city of Nineveh. When Jonah went and declared a word, if you can pull up that scripture for Jonah, it's in Jonah chapter 3. The Bible says Jonah declared to the city and says, listen, city, you've got few days. In so many days, the city will be pulled down. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown because of their sins. And the Bible says the king of the city of Nineveh, the leader, proclaimed a fast. He says, no, we have heard the voice of the Lord. We need to realign ourselves with what God is saying. And the Bible says they declared a fast. Even animals were fasting. I'm talking about what fasting does to you. It realigns you with the will of God for you. Let's try and draw this thing to an end. Fasting unlocks the favor of God for you. Maybe you're looking and crying out for the favor of God. Favor is when somebody looks at you in a desirable way. When you become preferred. When you fast, you'll get a job that you were never qualified for. They will probably tell you, well, you know what? You've got the degree, you've got no experience, but we just like you. When you fast, even your enemies will like you. They'll give you stuff, even complaining. I just don't know why I'm doing this, but yeah, just have it. Why? That is favor. Glory be to God. That is a favor of God that is unlocked by faith. Two people that we see in the scriptures, Queen Esther and Nehemiah. Esther was supposed to appear before the king because the Jewish nation was being threatened by death. And Esther was told by Mordecai, you are in that palace for a reason. Please go talk to your hubby. This thing must stop. And Esther says, I know my hubby is so hard. If he does not call you into his presence, you are not allowed. If you come, you die. And then Esther, if you can just pull up the book of the story of Esther. Then Esther said, go tell Mordecai, let everybody fast with me. Let everybody fast with me. As they fasted, at the end of the fast, they went. And then the Bible says, go to the next verse. You see that in verse 2 of chapter 5. The Bible says she walked into that courtyard of the king. And the king saw the beautiful Esther. And I believe God just made this man to just want his wife in that moment. He says, Queen, what shall I do for you? Come hither. What shall I do for you? Favor. She found favor. Why? Somebody fasted. Somebody unlocked favor. If you go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah was working for a king as a cupbearer. And they heard about the devastation of the walls of Jerusalem. And he was aggrieved. The Bible says he fasted, crying to the Lord that he would find favor to the king, before the king, for him to be released to go and rebuild the walls. After fasting, he appeared before the king, and the king granted him time to go, and not just time to go, but the resources that he needed. Do you hear me this morning? When we fast, some things like that do happen. As I finish off, I remember this 2001 in May. I remember I went in a time of fasting. I was in need of money for my studies at UCT. There was no money coming. And I knew that if we don't get money, I will be excluded at the end of my second year. I remember fasting and praying and believing God for 3 days. And in that time, God spoke to me from the book of Daniel. And he said to me, Michael, the same way I blessed Daniel in a foreign land, I will bless you in this land. I had to hold on to that word. And lo and behold, by the end of that year, I got a bursary. Well, for those of you who don't know, I'm not a South African. And I remember the bursary that I got, it was written, it is only for South African citizens. And by the way, I did not bribe nobody. But I sought the face of heaven. And God says to me, all nations belong to me. And God came through for me. I don't know what your issue is right now. But I believe in the God who is able to unlock favor. He's able to open doors for us. Hallelujah. That is what we are trusting God for. As we fast this coming week. Now, I'm not going to just throw you out and say, you know, just fast as you feel. There are 3 things that the Lord wants us to pray into. As you go through these 5 days of fasting, let's look at these prayer points. The first point I want us to really cry to God for is for the Lord to make us a church that reaches the unsaved. There's nothing as important as that in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus died on the cross for you and I. But it is a battlefield. So we're going to pray into Passion Rescue. This is the program we are running in these coming few months. We were saying, Lord, use me to rescue somebody. And I want you in these coming 5 days to cry out to the Lord that this church becomes a going church. We go into the nations and make disciples of all nations. We're going to cry out to God and say, Lord, change me. Pray for yourself. Don't exclude yourself in becoming a goer. in becoming a witness. The Bible says, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, into the uttermost parts of the world. We're going to cry out to God and say, we want to reach souls. So that's a prayer for church. The second prayer is for you. It's a personal prayer. We're going to pray for the stuff I taught on the first Sunday of this year, where we're saying, there's a place where the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. You're going to pray that, Lord, I want to see your purposes for me. I want to hear what you're saying to me. I want to perceive your thoughts for me. Isaiah 55 says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. These things have been revealed to us by his Spirit. We're going to cry out. We're going to cry out and say, Lord, I want a deeper intimacy with you. I want to see. I want to hear. I want to understand what you're doing in this season. The second prayer you're going to make for yourself, yes, we're going to pray for our finances. We're going to pray for financial breakthroughs for you. Pray for yourself. Some of you are believing God for businesses, for contracts. Pray and say, Lord, the earth and its fullness belongs to you. When you do a Bible study on finances, financial breakthrough, there is so much. The silver and the gold belongs to him. And some of you here need to make a covenant with God and say, Lord, when you bless me with finances, I will be a kingdom financier. I will seek your kingdom first. When money comes, I will make sure that the kingdom of God is taken care of. And that covenant will unlock certain things. The Bible says, remember, it is the Lord that gives you ability to gather wealth and in so doing to establish his covenant. I want to encourage you. Cry out to God for a financial breakthrough. Maybe it's a job promotion you want. Whatever it is, let's believe God. God wants you to have enough for godliness and for everything in life. So that's your second personal prayer. I want us also to pray for our nation. That's the third category of our prayers this week. Our nation. We want to pray for peace in our nation. There is so much tension in our nation. If the church does not stand on the gap, especially racial tensions, they're at an all-time high. It's almost like every time you read the newspapers, there are racial connotations to everything. And the enemy wants to use that to divide this beautiful nation and to take it to the dogs. No, the church needs to stand and say, we won't allow this. We pray for unity, starting in the body of Christ. The church is one of the most divided places on a Sunday morning. But we're going to pray for peace. Around that issue, pray even for wisdom around the whole issue of land expropriation. That issue can burn a nation. We need wisdom, we need godly counsel, we need sober minds on this issue. We have seen it around our borders. We're going to pray around this issue. And then lastly, the national elections are coming up. I want us to pray for peace around that. Let's pray that the will of God will prevail. Let's pray that this nation remains intact. The body of Christ holds the keys for this nation. Hello, does somebody agree with me this morning? So these powerful prayer points, I'll put them on our website. I'll send them out on our WhatsApp group or through our different communication lines. But hey, people of God, let's take time. Let's take time to pray into these three things: the church, yourself, and the nation. And on Thursday, let all of us come together and call down heaven, touching heaven, changing earth. You can just come up, come in, just as we finish up now.